Also, this is true. And we are glad about it, that we may be a possession of the Lord. I would like read Psalms 27 before we pray, and I ask that we stand up for it. Psalms 27, I read from verse 1 to 8. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Only one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we don't have the right words to express what we feel. How valuable has your holy word become to us? How precious and glorious the revealed word. Beloved Lord, be with us in this hour. Take away all trouble, all sickness, every bondage. Take everything from us, O Lord. May this day be a day that thou hast made for our blessing, for our salvation. Also we seek thy face, and we may find it. You turned it toward us on Calvary. Beloved Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord, Almighty God, who you were and who thou art, and who you will be throughout eternity. To you alone, belongs all the glory, all the honor, all the glorification. Beloved Savior, we place this gathering consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb, of the holy blood that was shed on Calvary, with which you, O Lord, as the faithful high priest, entered the Holy of Holies. The blood speaks today for us. It acquits us. It purifies. It sanctifies. It's the blood of the new covenant. Hallelujah. Lord, be merciful to us. We want to devote us unto this service, Lord, in this hour, and thank you in a very special way with all our hearts. I ask you for it, that you will lead by your Spirit, that the anointing may rest upon me, that not a man speaks to us, but that you, O Lord, could speak to us through your word. You know the manifold afflictions of the individuals, O Lord. You can help. You will help. You can overcome everything. That's how we sang it. You are and remain the victor of Calvary. To you we give thanks with all our heart, that you are now in our midst, that you go through our rows, that you speak to everyone, and that you save the lost, that you heal the sick, and that you reveal yourself to your people. Thank you so much for the privilege that we may gather here today in the city of Zurich to hear your word. Bless us and with us, all your worshiping people all over the earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would like now to start with the books of Moses and read some scriptures. Last Wednesday night, Brother Rus read a psalm. I think it was Psalms 136, where in every verse of the 26 verses is written, "The grace of God endureth forever." And this psalm spoke so much to my heart. You can read it yourself. Over and again it says, "The grace or mercy of God endureth forever." And then comes again a verse. And then again it says, "The grace of God endureth forever." And right about this term, the grace of God, I would like to speak now very briefly, that we, the grace given to us, that we learn to appreciate it even more and know what God has done on us. From Genesis chapter 6, I read verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." What is it about in this time? To find grace before God. And we will see it. He who finds grace with God, him he lets know his ways. I would like to read from Genesis 18, the well-known scripture, the first three verses. Genesis 18, the first three verses. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground.
seines Zeltes aus entgegen, verneigte sich vor ihnen bis auf den Boden und sagte,
and said, My Lord, if now I have found grace in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. What a wonderful word! Abraham sees three men. We all know it was the Lord and two angels. This we can read in chapter 18, and then especially in chapter 19. There it says, in chapter 19, verse 1, And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. So it was not a divine trinity. And here I remember now a large meeting in the city of Stuttgart at this exhibition site many years ago. There I was the interpreter of a US evangelist, and he took this word, whether you can grasp this now or not. But he said, to him God has revealed these three men who came there to Abraham. This was the divine trinity. And you can imagine what went on already then. And this was many, many years ago. This was the last sermon that I translated. It was just impossible. People have always read their own thoughts into the Word, instead of reading from the Word the thoughts of God. And this is the grace that God has given us. We don't just read one or three verses. We read the whole chapter, and if need be, also the next one, to get the divine answer and not to have to interpret. Here, Abraham said to the Lord, If I have found grace in thy sight, then do not pass by and leave your servant. I think the same we can say as the spiritual seed of Abraham. Lord, if we found grace today in thy sight, then do not pass us by. Speak to us, reveal unto us your word, your promises. And as our brother Marco Vori said, we bear in us the deep longing to experience what God promised us. And I may bring you the good news. God will do what He promised. God fulfilled every promise, and He will also fulfill the last ones. In another way, I don't know God. How is it with all of us? What God promised, this He keeps for sure. If just a man would have said it, then we could have our doubts. God Himself said it, and He will do it. Our Lord redeemed the church. He builds and completes her, and He will return to take her home into His glory. And there will be a church without spot and without wrinkle, unblameable, unreprovable, untouchable, washed by the precious blood of the Lamb, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and sanctified in the truth, and the truth is God's word. For thus it is written, John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. And also this thought became so great to us that the longer the more our longing arises to line up with God and His Word, that the Lord can testify of himself and manifest his power. The next scripture we find in Exodus 33, also well known to all of us. But because we are dealing now with this thought, let us also read this scripture. Exodus 33, verse 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. God knows his own. We are his people. And if we have found grace in his sight, then he lets us know his ways. From Exodus 34, I would like to read from verse 6 to 9. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Amen. Abundant in grace and faithfulness, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. To me it's mainly about verse 8 now. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Amen. That's how it is with all of us. We are sometimes stiff-necked. We sometimes don't respond to the word of the Lord and also to the will of God as we would like to do it. But here we see what the Lord God said and what Moses answered him. The Lord passed by him before his eyes and said, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in grace and faithfulness. That's how the Lord passes by today on you and on me. That's how he passes by today on the eyes of our hearts and says to us the same words. He is a gracious God, long-suffering and rich in grace and faithfulness, keeping mercy for thousands. Also this we may testify of. He did it, and he will do it until the end. Moses fell down after the Lord spoke to him. Oh, that the word of God could speak to us so mightily, that we in holy reverence could bring unto him the thanks due to him. Yes, that we could fall down in his presence and give him the thanks. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, Let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. More we also don't want. But Lord, if we are your people and found grace in thy sight, go through our midst. Transform our hearts. Turn your face toward us. For also we confess that we could not always respond to the will of God as we would have liked to have done. And then it says here, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Also, this is our heartfelt prayer. Lord, forgive all guilt, every transgression, all unfaithfulness towards you and your word. There we didn't confess you, and so forth. Forgive us our guilt and sin, and let us be your inheritance. We are God's inheritance, and this for time and for eternity. God does not withdraw his counsel. No, he has ordained us to be with him throughout eternity. From Isaiah 61, I would like to read the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now it comes, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all them that mourn. Maybe so far you can read on if you like. Here it is mainly about that our Lord has come to really save, to heal, to bind up, to set the captives free. Has he done it? He has done it. And by the proclamation, we may say to the people that the promises of the Old Testament became reality in Jesus Christ during the New Covenant by grace. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You all know what this acceptable year was. It was the year of Jubilee. That year, after 7 times 7 years have passed, namely 49 years, then came the year of the Lord, the year of deliverance, the year in which all the slaves were released, an acceptable year of the Lord. It was proclaimed on the great day of atonement with the sound of a trumpet. Also, this is very important. It was not only proclaimed, it was proclaimed on the day of reconciliation. You all read your Bible well. When I give you all the scriptures, then you don't read enough, but you can all look it up. On the day of reconciliation, with the sound of a trumpet, the acceptable year, known as the year of Jubilee, was proclaimed. And all could go out freely. To this fact, our Lord referred when he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, not of a man, the acceptable year of the Lord, and it still lasts today, for it is the day of salvation. It's the acceptable time, and like with the sound of a trumpet, the gospel sounds forth, the full gospel, that all can go out freely, because the price was paid on Calvary. Therefore, everyone who became a believer in Jesus Christ can go out freely. The debt was paid for. The sin was forgiven. We were reconciled with God. May also this be still given to us, that we now, at the harvest time, like with the sound of a trumpet, could proclaim this acceptable year of the Lord still to many who then also make use of it. Jesus our Lord read it in Luke chapter 4, and then he also emphasized it, namely Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord himself proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord, and we may pass on this call by the proclamation of the wonderful gospel. I still would like to read from Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, to complete this thought of grace. After all, everything is grace. Luke chapter 1, and here verse 28-30. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Did we hear it? Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord greets us. We are the favored of the Lord. And therefore, the new birth became possible in us, as the birth of Christ became possible, because a man found grace. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Noah, Abraham, Moses, all the prophets found grace with God. We may say, also we found grace with God. Shall I read you some scriptures? The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. The law by Moses, the condemnation and so forth, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. There is a special scripture which could be a blessing for the one or the other when we read it now together. I hope that I find it. When Paul really asked the Lord that he may command Satan that he should no more beat him with fists. I read it as a comfort for all them whom the devil makes life difficult. And there are some blows that hit us in various ways. But listen what is written to this in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here we start with verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we get some blows, then we pray right away, O Lord, let it be enough now. We cannot endure it anymore. And here we see that a great man of God got told by the Lord, My grace is sufficient for thee. What is grace? That we get away scot-free? Grace is that we in all the trials walk on faithfully. Grace is that we bear the burdens laid on us. Grace is that we remain faithful and persevere according to the word. He who remains faithful until the end, he will be crowned. To you, who you are already older than I, and have to endure some things, maybe you say, must this be so? As I said before, there are some things that we would like to have differently than it is. And yet, a true child of God will neither quarrel with the Lord nor with his own fate continually. In the end, we submit wholeheartedly to the will of God, and His grace will be sufficient for us. For His grace is made perfect in weakness. What do you want? Rather grace and some blows from the enemy, or no blows at all, and then also no grace? Rather going through some things and remaining faithful to Him who called us, who redeemed us, and who made us His followers, than to somehow have a life that is not touched at all. Do you know what also stood out to me? Paul put the term grace at the beginning and at the end of most of his letters. The grace of God is the first and the last. According to the scripture, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Before me is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Also to this we say Amen, because we have God's revelation. It is the love of God that was poured out by the Holy Ghost into our hearts. And in this divine love that was poured out by the Holy Spirit, we have fellowship with God. And the fellowship with God is by the Holy Ghost. Look how wonderful God made it with His revelations. He came into the flesh to redeem us and to pay the price. And then he came in the Spirit to take dwelling in the redeemed by the Holy Spirit. God revealed in heaven as Father, on earth in the Son, and dwelling in the believers by the Holy Spirit. Always the same God to finish his own plan of salvation with his people. Do you know that even in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, in chapter 22, the last sentence in the Bible is, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." This is the last sentence in all of the Bible. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What shall we say to it? We are so grateful to God to have found grace in his sight. And because we found grace in his sight, therefore he lets us know his ways. He had spoken to us, and he revealed the word of prophecy to us. And also therein, we found grace before him, that we do not glorify a man, but that we give God the glory, but that we acknowledge with all our heart that God had spoken through the mouth of a man, and that we received and accepted the divine message as the word of God. Paul has also written back then, "You didn't receive the word that was preached unto you as the words of men, but as the word of God." What it actually is, that's how it is written. The same applies to us. We received God's word. It was preached and written to us by prophets and apostles, but finally it was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Out of his fullness we also received in the course of all the years grace for grace. We have drawn by grace, we could draw from the fountain of salvation. How many are grateful for it, that this grace was given to us, when even in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, in the last chapter, in the last verse, it's written to us of the grace of the Lord Jesus, and that the grace of the Lord Jesus shall be with all. Who are these all? It is them whom the revelation of Jesus Christ was given. Dear brothers and sisters, all this must be said to us. God is not understood with the mind or explained with the intellect. God is experienced. And the Lord didn't say, "Go into all the world and interpret the gospel or explain it somehow." He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach all nations to keep all that what I commanded you." This is our task. And when we read in Revelation, in chapter 1, in the first verses, then our hearts will once again be touched. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Right now, I am reminded on the banner that was shown on this World Convention in Florida as the main text, namely the word from Revelation chapter 1, and here the second part of verse 9. There was written in large letters as a headline, "For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Can you imagine this? At this world convention of this church council was written from Revelation chapter 1. Here the summary from verse 9. "For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Can you now understand why I went there for these 3 days? I really thought there comes now a thing that one should hear. For the headline I read earlier before in the invitation, "For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ," I thought, most certainly something will come here. I may not say to anyone of all what has come there, nothing but religious politics, and even that was very bad. It was very bad. More remarks I don't want to make here. We, who we have the privilege to not only write these words onto a banner somewhere, but to have become partakers of that, what is written here, for the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to us. These are not just slogans which we use somewhere, but we have part in it. As John has written here, namely, as written here in verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." So, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ is only given to the bride. That's the whole mystery. And I think here again on that one man who is somewhat the right hand of the world president. And he even rejected every form of water baptism of believers. To him it was enough that 3 drops of water sanctify the baby forever. And when I said, "But listen, where is this written in the Bible?" And hear now what this man said. He said, "You are an European. You come from Central Europe, there where the Reformation took place." And then he dared to say, "You exalt yourself above Calvin and above Luther because you preach the water baptism of believers and don't baptize the way Luther and Calvin baptized." And he really pushed me forward. But then I said to him, "Now I would like to say something to you." This was just the beginning of the Reformation, not the end. Since those days, we experienced a progressive reformation up to the full restoration before the return of Jesus Christ. And then I could say, these were men of God in their time, and God could use them in a mighty way to make the beginning. But then I could humbly say to him, "If you have nothing against it, then I would like to give you the advice which I then also followed. I don't go back until Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Schwenkfeld. I go back to the days of the apostles, back to the beginning, and I also invite you, come with me up to the days of the apostles. This is the plain truth, or not? And there are great men who cannot even read from the Bible what everybody knows, who learned the ABC and who can read from the Holy Scripture. But the slogan on the banner was right. Only everything else was not right. We may, and let me come here to a close, we may once again emphasize what grace really means. Noah found grace before God. The Lord could speak to him. He showed him the way, and that what he should do. Abraham fell before the Lord and cried out, "If I have found grace in thy sight, then pass not by your servant." Moses and all the others, they found grace with God. Already in the Old Testament, oh yes, the grace of God is not so new as some think. It were pardoned people in the Old Testament, and it's pardoned people in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they were pointing and looking to Christ the Messiah, and they expected him, and we look back now, and Calvary is the central point, and is so to say the fulfillment of that, what God foretold in the Old. Oh yes, there were pardoned people in the Old, and there are pardoned people in the New Testament. And always, God revealed himself to them. He lets them know his ways and his doings at their time. He took care of them. He blessed them and revealed himself to them. They didn't need to guess who God is. They knew it by revelation. This is grace. He who found grace in the sight of God, him the Lord cannot bypass. The Lord hears also your cry. He hears now your call. He does not pass you by. He stops and asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And let me say it, we found grace with God. Grace to become a believer. Grace to know the Lord. Grace to believe his revealed word. Grace to not stumble over anything. Grace to walk forward. And I'm convinced that he who began, he will also finish. By grace, we will be there. Now I think on the statement of Brother Branham. He liked to sing the song "Amazing Grace" with all his heart. And then he said, "When you will hear me singing on the other side, then it will be the song Amazing Grace." By grace, we also will glorify the grace of God, which was given to us. Out of his fullness, we received grace for grace, and do it also today. Receive also you, dear heart, today, from this fullness, grace for grace. Amen. Let us stand up while all heads are bowed and the eyes are closed. Let me ask, is somebody here who did not yet experience the grace of God. You don't know yet that you are saved, but you would like to have an experience with God. Then raise your hand now, if somebody's here. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Lord our God, you have seen the two hands of these two young people. Oh, we commit them unto you and to your grace. Beloved Lord, everything was grace. Grace that we were saved. Everything only grace and again grace. By grace, you also saved these two. They may believe it and know that they have become your inheritance by grace. Beloved Savior, thank you so much for the unspeakable grace that we, as the most simple and most humble people on earth, being despised by all the others, rejected, but received and accepted by you. I thank you for it. We found grace in thy sight. Therefore, you didn't pass us by. You called us. You spoke to us. We thank you for it. You saved, healed. You revealed yourself to us, your word, your name. Everything is grace. Beloved Lord, here are your pardoned people. And with us, many who will listen to this service. Faithful Lord, may they all know what grace really means. To have found grace with you, the living God. Lord, may we not only use this word from today on, but appreciate it, what it really means, that you are gracious to us. Not only that you were gracious, but you are and will be until we come from believing unto seeing. Dear Lord, you yourself let into your holy book, as the last sentence be written, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Lord, it is with us. And was with all who were pardoned by you. We thank you for it. You had in our time a servant and prophet who found grace in thy sight. You let him know your ways and to your people your doings by your revealed word. We thank you, faithful Lord, that we found grace on all levels before you, and we may, until the end, draw from your fullness grace for grace. Also the grace of perfection, the rapturing faith, the preparation, everything what is still to come, by grace, we will experience it, for you promised it. And as Mary and all the others found grace before you, so we also may cry out that we found grace before you, the living God. The grace to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, the testimony and the word. Everything is grace. Today we thank you, Lord, Almighty God, that we found grace before you. May we live in this grace and in this truth, for that's how we read it. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Not only grace, grace and truth. He who was pardoned by you is being led into all the truth by your Holy Spirit. I thank you for it, beloved Lord, with all my heart and with all my soul. And I commit all who are present, all who will hear it, unto your grace, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.